Well, saints, we're going to go on into this session into something that should begin to take some steps. We'd like to fellowship with you under the Lord's covering blood and with his anointing and leading.
Amen.
What we should do. You know, we opened up four big things in the last session. These we would consider as great pillars related to all our work with the second generation. You can tell that we're not just talking about young people's work per se. You know, that's kind of narrow and small. We're very burdened here about a whole cross-section of the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
In Southern California churches, there's about 5,000 saints, okay? Of those 5,000 saints, about 1,000 are junior high and high school age. That's 20% of the churches. This is not a small group of people. And if we don't learn how to care for them and raise them up, then we are essentially setting aside 20% of the church waiting for them to grow up or something. You know, in other times we have a fellowship, we pointed out that our work typically did not engage them. We didn't bring them into an organic function. And so they sat on the sidelines. They were sitting on the bench, so to speak, of the church life for not just 1 year or 2 years, but eventually 6 years, junior high, 2 years, 4 years of high school. They went to college. Even the very good ones among us did not have much burden for the gospel. And many of them, not even by the time they finished college, had they spoken to anyone about the Lord. That's the first 10 years of their Christian life was idle. I believe that of all the things that we're considering, I believe that this may be the most serious, that we didn't help them to function. And we didn't challenge them. It may be, probably, it is our own weakness, our own lack of faith, as we shared in the last session, our fear. We couldn't, you know, maybe the subject of the gospel is one of those subjects that causes us a lot of trepidation, fear. So we wouldn't dare lay that on these young ones. But we have found out already that they are not nearly as concerned or afraid of this as we are. They're okay with this. So why wouldn't we help them? Why wouldn't we use them? Actually, you will see as we go on today, this morning's and this afternoon's session, that what we're discovering, or maybe what I'm discovering, is the biggest problem is me. The biggest difficulty is getting through me. And so I'm just going to be transparent with you all and wide open to you all that under a lot of the Lord's shining, feel quite exposed that I wasn't open to this area, this field, this aspect of our work. If you're a local church, let's say you're a country, you're a nation, all right, and you want to build up a superstructure or a new kind of way, you start with education, you develop the youth of your nation, and they become your army, they become your scholars. All the newest things are with them. They're developing the cutting edge technology and the cutting edge methods. And sadly, in the Lord's recovery, in the church life, this whole part of the church, which is the strength, the vitality, the youth of the church, were not engaged. And we couldn't use them, we didn't engage them, and because they were bored and capable, they went other places to be useful. And I just feel, saints, that we have to find the best way. And we have to pray a lot about this.
Amen.
Because I don't think it's in a method. It's not in that kind of a superficial technique. But we ourselves have to get through some things. And today, in this session, I have a lot of feeling. Actually, I've been waiting all week for this session. And I've been praying a lot on this. You know, in the last session, we talked about creating an atmosphere to restore the dormant ones. And we gave an illustration, or the Bible's illustration, of leaving the 99 and go after the one. And what is the message that those 99 get if you leave them to go after the one? And what is the message the one gets? Well, let's look at this from the other side. If there is 100 and one goes astray and you forget them, you let them go, what is the message that the 99 get? That is, you're on your own. Whether you make it or not is altogether up to you. And that is an atmosphere and a message that we cannot afford to have. So when we come to this session, in the title of this message, we have creating an atmosphere. And so we're going to fellowship about the atmosphere in the churches in Southern California, and even in the atmosphere in Southern California, because we have to break through the atmosphere. For us to take steps in what we're sharing, we have to get through the atmosphere. And this is not something we can do lightly. It's something that we have to. This is why we have to have the thought that we are one church.
Amen.
Because we're all under the same influence and we're all under the same atmospheric pressures here. We live in a land of superficiality, of amusements and entertainments, the beach, the weather, all this kind of things is in the sinfulness. Hollywood and all these things has a great effect on the atmosphere in the churches, in the young people, in all of us. And so, again, you can tell that our fellowship is not narrow like teaching serving ones how to serve, per se. We're now touching the atmosphere. So we need the Lord's covering blood. We need to bind.
Amen.
And Lord, in your name, we bind.
Amen.
The prince.
Amen.
Over this country and over this city and over this state.
Amen.
So that we can release this kind of burden in a clear way. Okay. So let's just start by coming to the outline right away. As persons who serve the Lord, we first need to learn and exercise to be persons of prayer.
Amen.
All the serving ones need to pursue the truth and grow in life and must be a person of prayer.
Amen.
We can't serve the young people in a superficial way. This will not work because we like to hang out with the teenagers. That's kind of natural. As you will see, we have to understand quite thoroughly that we are engaged in a particular kind of warfare, and it needs a particular kind of person. We're engaging the enemy almost face to face in this work. If we have the hope, and we do have the hope, that at some point we could have breakthroughs on the high school and maybe even the junior high campuses, we have to pray. This is not going to be a method or a technique, but it is going to have to be through some kind of prayer, maybe like we've never prayed before.
Amen.
prayer with fasting, prayer on our knees, prayer in groups of saints coming together, because the Lord has put this into our being to get through. We've ignored a whole cross-section of our work because we just, at some point, we just never did it. I don't think we taught against it. I think we just didn't do it. And it has now become part of our habit and even part of our heritage, where we just don't do anything. And that is something that has to be overcome.
Amen.
So, to be a person of prayer, look at A. For the propagation of the schools, gospel in the schools, we need to saturate our work with prayer.
Amen.
The need in the schools is great, and we need to cover these matters with prayer.
Amen.
Now, this quote is from and I'd like to point out to you some of these books that we've been getting into. Crucial Words of Leading, Book 5, concerning various aspects of church service. The first four chapters are called Concerning the Gospel in Schools. And if you're like me, you're going to read that and you're going to think, oh, campus work. And you give it to the full-timers who serve on the campus. But let me read to you something from the very first page of the very first chapter. First four chapters are called Concerning the Gospel in Schools. We must fellowship and pray together concerning the way to advance the gospel work in the junior high schools. High schools and colleges. You know, in Brother Lee's mind, there wasn't just like this whole category of campus work, and then there's the young people's work, and then there's the children's work. This is all the same to him. It's just all the same. There was just one piece. It's this whole field. And we've been handicapped because of our segmenting or compartmentalizing our work. We have, campus work. And then, young people. And then children, like that. We have to jump out of that.
Amen.
We have to jump out of that.
Amen.
The campus work, whether it's junior high campus, high school campus, college campus, to Brother Lee, it's all the same. It's all the same. Can you believe that? Has anyone ever done a gospel work on a junior high campus? I'm not aware of any. According to statistics in Taipei, there are about 100 schools that are either junior high school, or college. If we include, see, he's talking altogether about junior high school, and college. That's what we're talking about. And we're not talking about the church kids. We're talking about gaining people from those schools.
Amen.
Just like we do. You know, sadly, and I might add, that a lot of our campus labor, you know, we were all very helped by the Austin apprenticeship, UCI, UCLA, Fullerton, Cypress, Long Beach, many places, and others too, Phoenix and so forth, San Diego. And we all were helped with that, very much helped with the home meetings, the church life. Our experience has been, though, a lot of the full-timers' time got taken up with going after the church kids who were wandering. And a lot of their time is spent on recovering the church kids, which we hope, you know, is needed. You got to do it. But he's talking about preaching the gospel. Going out, it's not like we forget them, but we see that school. You know, we're right next to a middle school right over here, Venado Middle School. It's about, you know, just across the park. And we look at that school. Hordes of these junior hires They need salvation. They need the gospel. That's what he's thinking. UCI, you got 30,000 students. They need the gospel. Irvine High School, they need the gospel. Venado Middle School, they need the gospel. That's the thought. And I realize that our thought is like our kids, you know, taking care of our kids. Or even, and we do, we have to help them. We have to shepherd them, and we have to care and love them. Bring them into the homes, like we said. We have to, you know, like that. But we also, and I don't know if we're ready for this, that's why this is like maybe cutting edge. What about that campus? You know, he says we need to study. How many students do we have on that school? How many staff members do we have? There are inside, he calls them our inside helpers, because they will get us in. And you know what he talks about? He talks about full-timers serving to preach the gospel at junior high schools. Amen. Is there ever been full-timers serving or part-timers, he talks about? And you'll see it on the outline this afternoon. Well, anyway, that's why we have to pray. Amen. We have to pray ourselves. We have to open up ourselves. Should we talk about this? I mean, maybe. Okay, well, let's keep reading. Let's see what happens. We need to cover these matters with prayer. Amen. You know, Brother Steve Bellingham, yeah, he shared about, he's got three daughters, and your older girls are in high school now. But what if there was groups of saints, and not just young people, quote, serving ones, that would gather together to pray for the gospel on these campuses? You know, you have a personal interest because your kids are going to school there, but your burden is not just your kids. It's that the gospel on that school. I don't know if we've ever opened our heart to this extent concerning this matter. I don't know. I feel like, and I'm sorry, maybe I'm just speaking freely and maybe like a talk, but I think maybe we've just been so interested in our own that we didn't lift up our eyes to look on the fields. Brother Lee is just all together. He's on the fields. His eyes are on the thousands and thousands of these. Maybe this morning the Lord will help us to lift up our eyes. Amen. Certainly our young people need a lot of care. And maybe you'll be disappointed. You came to this training and we're not giving you some good fellowship on how to shepherd our own. But I think if the gospel becomes prevailing on your child's campus, they will be the first ones to get the most help. Amen. I believe this. Anyway, so I'm fighting with you. I'm fighting with myself. Okay, B, when we pray, we are functioning as priests. As priests, we should bring all the people on the campuses to the Lord. There it is. And if possible, pray for them by name. We're priests and kings. When we pray, we're functioning as a priest. When we preach, we're functioning as a king. Bring the names to the Lord and pray for them. Prayer, now here you go. This should be very encouraging to you because it's very encouraging to me. Prayer is the expression of our attitude toward the Lord that what? We do not know what to do. Amen. Do you know what to do? No. We do not know, and we're not able to do anything. Amen. Amen. That's what it means to pray. Amen. To be a person of prayer is to be this kind of person. Amen. Lord, we don't know how to do this. We've never done this before. We've never even talked about this before. We've never opened up to this. We don't know what to do. And we certainly look at ourselves. We're not capable to do this. But we're blowing a trumpet here, saints. Amen. This is what we're doing. To be a person of prayer does not mean that we are constantly kneeling in prayer. A person of prayer exercises to always have an attitude of being nothing. Our problem is that we are short of prayer. When our heart, our spirit, our attitude, our feeling, and our emotion are that we are useless and incapable of doing anything, we will pray and look to the Lord.
Amen.
I guess what's within me this morning is that I would just like to put in you what is within me.
Amen.
This makes it not easy for me to function, to realize this, to have this. I don't know how to work this out. I don't know how and if it even is possible. I'm not speaking from the standpoint of unbelief. I'm reading in a pure way our brother's leading. You know, we talked about this before, that there is a blueprint. And we have to build according to the blueprint.
Amen.
And that we've tried our own way for a long time. And we're wanting. We're coming up short. And this is forcing us, we have to come back to look at the blueprint again, read it again, and read it again. And when you read it again, you realize, oh, you take what Brother Lee says, and you overlay it with what we're doing, and we're on different planets. We're here, and he's over here. And we're trying to say, okay, saints, let's open up. Let's see if we can enter into the leading that we have in the ministry, and through the ministry, the way for us to carry out this kind of work.
Amen.
This is what we're saying, and this is what we're opening up to. Amen.
Amen.
So we have to pray, because we're incapable, we're useless. It's like the slave in Luke 17. You know, he goes out, and he's tending sheep, and he's plowing the field, and when he comes in, it says the master doesn't say, oh, sit and recline. He says, no, serve me.
Amen.
And what the slave says, you know, tending the sheep is to shepherd the flock, is to take care of the Lord's children. That's our job. That's the church kids, you could say. But plowing the field is a work of sowing. This is gospel.
Amen.
And we have to do both. And while we're out laboring in these two areas of shepherding and preaching the gospel, then we come in and we want the Lord to serve us and cook us a big dinner. Actually, he says, no, 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 serve me, minister to me. And then our response is, I'm an unprofitable slave. I'm only doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So our heart is all together to the Lord. We're wide open to him. We really don't know how to go forward. But how about we come together as one church?
Amen.
In Southern California?
Amen.
And we embrace this. We open ourselves up to this. We pray for this. We gather in our churches with our companions, with our neighbors, the sisters, the brothers, and we begin to pray.
Amen.
By this time next year, we will see breakthroughs. We'll see it, real inroads. We'll see it. I'm sure of it.
Amen.
Okay. So it says our problem, point two, is that we are short of prayer. When our heart, our spirit, our attitude, our feeling, and our emotion are that we are useless and incapable of doing anything, we will pray and look to the Lord.
Amen.
The reference here, Matthew 14, is when the Lord was going to feed the 5,000. The five loaves came into his hand, and he looked up into heaven, and this is our situation. We have a few kids, a few positive ones. The Lord has put them into our hands. What we do is we look up into heaven. We honor him as the source. We are not the source. We're not the worker. He's the worker. And without his blessing, we can do nothing. So we're all the time looking to him for his blessing. And his blessing, you know, is unexpected results. It's not commensurate with the level of effort. When you take 5,000, five loaves and you feed 5,000 people, there's no way to compare the effort with the result. It's unexpected results. This is what we're praying for. When we had that point in the last session about thousands.
Yeah.
Can we pray thousands?
Amen.
Can we pray thousands? This is unexpected. We have to take our few loaves, look up into heaven, tell the Lord, Lord, you're the source.
Amen.
We're not the source.
Amen.
You're the sender. We're just the sent one. And we look to your blessing. And without your blessing, we cannot do anything. We can only feed 5 people. And it's not even very good. That's one small boy's lunch. Okay. Another thing that needs our attention, this is point D, related to prayer, is the matter of being watchful. You know, I love all these points on prayer. It is difficult for a person who does not pray to be watchful. You know, the Lord charged his disciples to watch and pray. Look at Brother Lee's fellowship. The insight we receive concerning the work, including our thorough understanding and long-term view, comes from prayer. This is what it means to be watchful. We're just before the Lord. We're before him. We're opening to him. Concerning the young generation, the second generation, concerning the gospel on the campuses, we're just before him. The prayer never stops. It's an open subject. It's an open topic. And we're just before him.
Amen.
And from this kind of watchfulness, a thorough understanding, insight, long-term view comes. The word watch has the meaning of observing. The most effective observation is done in prayer. We need to learn to be a person of prayer, to have a spirit of prayer, and to give everything, to give every person we contact and everything we do to the Lord in prayer. Prayer is also necessary, this touches another point, to deal with the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Our fighting is against evil spiritual forces in the heavenlies. Saints, this implies that we're engaged in a warfare and that we war by prayer. We fight by prayer.
Amen.
Amen. I just hope that there could be this kind of spirit and atmosphere and even result from this kind of fellowship, that in all the churches, the serving ones would gather mainly to pray for this, the gospel on the campuses. You know, again, I'll confess, all right? Every time I confess, I feel like I'm taking down another maybe veil or another obstacle that's in the way. And the Lord covers me, covers you. Most of our coordination, most of our heart, our prayers are all related to the young people's meeting Saturday night. We spend a lot of time on that. We spend a lot of prayers on that. And the brothers are burdened, you know, what are we going to cover? And we fellowship, what are we going to cover? And we have to do a young people's meeting. We have to do that. I'm not against that. We have to do it. We have to do a good job. It has to be a good meeting. But that's not what we're called to do. This is a calling. Imagine what your Saturday night young people's meeting would be like if you started getting 10, 15 young people from Woodbridge High School walking into your meeting. You've never seen them before. Somebody was over there meeting them on the sidewalk after school. We didn't have church kids going there. Maybe one or not church kids. We started getting fruit. What do you think would happen to your young people's meeting? It's like all of us. You know, the brothers have shared this. A lot of our small group meetings, our home meetings, are the meetings of the 12 apostles. You know, we've been looking at each other for years, and we're still telling the same stories over and over again, and the same testimony over and over again. We're just so desperate to get some new ones into our midst. And we forgot that factor. We forgot what that does to us. To have a new one, to have a young, fresh one, a burning one. He's hotter than everybody else.
Amen.
You know, we have to pray for this, saints. Point F, we must learn to pray continually. There is the need for persistence in prayer. If we pray for a short time, do not see immediate results, we may be disappointed. Instead, we should pray continually and not give up.
Amen.
Of course, we have this word about to persevere in prayer. Amen. All right, so now we go to Romans 2, we'll continue. That covers, of course, the first part of the title, being a person of prayer. Now we want to get into this fellowship about creating an atmosphere. I love this point. Amen. And I'm very burdened about this point. Amen. But I'm just as helpless and just as useless to do this point. And so maybe by opening up to you, we could fellowship and we could touch something here. whenever the Lord moves, this is the point. Whenever God moves, he's about to move. He always stirs an atmosphere first. There's always an atmosphere that's created before he moves. I believe you sense it too. Someone shared this. There's a sense. An atmosphere is coming. The Lord is about to take some steps that he's never taken before. He's about to do something he hasn't done before. In the Old Testament, whenever the children of Israel were about to move out, they were about to pack up and move on, the priest would blow a trumpet. That blowing of the trumpet created an atmosphere. Oh, get ready, we're about to move. Where are we going? Don't know where we're going. God is leading us. Where? Where to? I don't know. We better get our stuff together. We better get ready. He's about to move.
Amen.
That's what happened.
Amen.
They blew the trumpet.
Right.
Everyone heard the trumpet. Here we go. Do you hear the trumpet?
Amen.
We're blowing the trumpet this morning.
Amen.
Get ready.
Amen.
Because what? We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know where we're going to go. But the Lord is summoning.
Amen.
Summoning. Wow. Collecting, right. Calling. The army together.
Amen.
Even they blew the same trumpets on the year of Jubilee.
Amen.
Also creating an atmosphere. What kind of atmosphere when they blew that? You know, they had sounds. They had signals. Two blasts, three blasts. I don't know. I have to go back and read it. But when they blew the trumpet on the day of Jubilee, oh my goodness. What do you think the atmosphere was like? The slaves go free, you know, they go back to your possession, you're recovered. Oh, my goodness, that was on the Day of Atonement, you know. But that's how the Lord moved in the Old Testament. Then what about the New Testament? You come to the New Testament, and you have another trumpet, and his name was John the Baptist. The forerunner, what he did is that he created an atmosphere. He went out to the wilderness, and he began to shout the way he dressed with camel skins. He ate locusts. How he dressed, how he behaved himself, and then he began to cry out, "Repent, repent! For the kingdom of the heavens, the kingdom of the heavens is drawn near."
Amen.
And it says that all Jerusalem and Judea went out to him. They got into the atmosphere. They realized something's going on out there.
Yeah.
And they got out there into that atmosphere, and they got subdued by that atmosphere. So they all went in to get baptized because the atmosphere got them. They got into John the Baptist's atmosphere. You know, the brothers in Taiwan, I mean, Brother Lee told us about the time in Chifu in China, not Taiwan. People walking by the meeting hall would get saved. Because of the atmosphere. They would touch something. Sometimes you come into the meeting and it was altogether a prevailing atmosphere. Then the Lord Jesus came after John the Baptist and his preaching. Thousands came, crowds came. And of course, I'm not promoting this kind of gospel campaign with thousands and, you know, getting the Angel Stadium, you know, to have a harvest Crusade 2 or something. Not talking about that. Just understand we're talking about atmosphere. And then the Lord, then the disciples. He sent out the disciples. And then he sent out the 70. Finally, there was 120. And they were in the upper room. And they were praying for 10 days. And then the Spirit came. They went out on the street. And they subdued that whole city. Because they had a certain kind of atmosphere. So, saints, today, this, of course, we'll read these points in a minute, but just like the fellowship, really, how wonderful to have an atmosphere in all of Southern California.
Amen.
Every church, you go to Santa Ana, it's the same. You go to Anaheim, you go to Fullerton, it's the same. It subdues you. It subdues you. How do you catch this atmosphere? How do you create it? And how do you dare, how do you keep it if you get it? It's easy to lose it, hard to get it. The brothers told us when they went to Taiwan, you can read it in the book. When they went to Taiwan, they created an atmosphere. So nobody at the time was pursuing the truth. No one was pursuing the growth in life. No one cared to restore the dormant ones. And there was no gospel atmosphere. He said, we created it. That's what I mean. He engineers revival. You don't need the gift. You just need to labor in a trained way. What they did is this. They published, I mentioned this already. They published enough tracts. They only had a few dollars. You know, they all came. They were refugees fleeing from the mainland China. They settled in Taiwan. They only had a few dollars. They put their money together. They printed enough gospel tracts for every household to receive a gospel tract. And they flooded every city, every house, every home in Taipei got a gospel tract. And not only that, then they printed up these posters and they put them on everywhere, the train stations, the bus stations, the street corners, and on their front door. If you were just a typical citizen of Taipei at the time, you can't get away from these people. They are everywhere. At the street corner, it's there. At the bus station, it's there. And there it is on their front door. Oh, my neighbor is one of those people. And they subdued the atmosphere. You know what they said they did too? Then they would have a gospel march every weekend, every Lord's Day, to go to the park. I think they called it the Great Park. You know, in Irvine, we have a Great Park. You have to go to the Great Park in Irvine. Anyway, they'd have a gospel march, and they would go out every Lord's Day to preach the gospel. They formed gospel teams, and they would have a concert at the park, something like, not the saints, I mean the people. And crowds would gather, you know, they were in fear, you know, of the communists coming over to Taiwan, so they were in a very good condition to hear the gospel. And so the brothers would go out there in gospel teams, and they would preach the gospel. He said every week they would come away with 400 to 500 names of people that wanted to be contacted. And then they started the small groups. They distributed the names to the small groups, and the small groups would gather them. They would gain them in the small groups. This is his point. Okay, but the burden in this message is atmosphere.
Amen.
This is what we're talking about. They created, engineered an atmosphere.
Amen.
You know, when they preached the gospel, sometimes they would preach the gospel in an open-air way at the park. They would sing or something, and a crowd would collect around them. And you know what they did? He said the saints would kneel down around the outside of the crowd and pray while the brother was preaching the gospel. And Samuel Chang, he told me this. He said we would tell people to get on their knees to receive the Lord. They'd, right there in the park, they'd kneel down to pray, be under, you know, under conviction. Okay, fellowship, these kinds of things. But the point is a kind of atmosphere was created. Let's read through some of these points and we'll see where we go. Romans 2 says, when God moves, he begins by stirring up an atmosphere. In the Old Testament, when the Israelites left Egypt and followed Moses, they moved according to the blowing of silver trumpets. The Israelites moved by listening for the blowing of the two silver trumpets. The sounding trumpets stirred up an atmosphere in preparation for the move of the children of Israel. In the New Testament, the atmosphere was first stirred up by John the Baptist, then the Lord Jesus, the 12 disciples, the 70 disciples, and the 120 disciples. Today, look at this. An atmosphere of the gospel has been stirred up in the whole earth. This is really true. Already there's an atmosphere. You can sense it. In the initial stage of the church in Taipei, we created an atmosphere of the gospel. I mentioned all those points. Now, let's go on to Romans 3. Whether or not our work is a success or a failure depends on whether we bring a proper atmosphere to a place or whether the atmosphere in a place affects us. Is Southern California going to affect us? Or are we going to affect Southern California? I think sadly we have to confess that we have been more affected than we've had an effect. Our testimony has been quite weak. You know, the disciples on the day of Pentecost were in the center of Jerusalem, which is the center of Judaism. And they could be so prevailing even in the face of very intense opposition. They had such an atmosphere and such a impact. I don't think that's a thing of the past that we should just kind of relegate to some other day, some other age. It's not anymore. We have to pray for this. In order to have fresh air, we have to learn to not offend the Holy Spirit. We must also learn to not offend the atmosphere that is brought in by him. Amen. It's a serious thing to offend the Spirit or the atmosphere brought in by him. I don't know your reaction to this kind of a point. There's the atmosphere and there's the Holy Spirit that brings in the atmosphere, and that we could be guilty of offending the Spirit, offending the atmosphere, and causing the atmosphere to weaken. The first thing we should do when we get to a new place is to ignite the fire of the gospel. We must be armed with a gospel spirit. These things are greatly related to the spiritual atmosphere of a place. We must have a gospel spirit, therefore, before we can light the gospel fire. But there must be a proper atmosphere before we can light the fire. Amen. If the atmosphere is wrong, it's hard to ignite the fire. Amen. We must never say or do anything that offends the spiritual atmosphere. Sometimes it's our lack of faith, our lack of burden, our way, light, being loose or light, that we just affect the atmosphere in a negative way. I like this outline because it starts off with being a person of prayer, because I believe that this matter of atmosphere has a lot to do with groups of saints coming together to pray. Amen. To just pray, to be with the Lord, to be before the Lord. to see what the Lord would bring out. Point B says, the second point is spiritual fire, which relates to supply. So we talk about a spiritual atmosphere or an atmosphere, a gospel spirit. And now we talk about a spiritual fire. Don't mistake any of these points to mean excitement, because we're not talking about excitement. In fact, we need to be very clear about this. You can tell that what we're speaking here is very sober and practical and down to earth. We're not here trying to stir up excitement, and we're not trying to do a quick thing, a quick work, something this year. We are talking about something very solid, long term. Okay? When it says the fire relates to supply, it's talking about fuel. Fire always needs fuel. Okay? Individually, it depends on our consecration, and corporately, it depends on fellowship or the supply in the ministry. Okay, there's two sides. There's the corporate and there's the individual. Individually, the fire is our consecration. You see, when the children of Israel built the tabernacle and they were dedicating the tabernacle, they put the burnt offering on the altar. The fire came down. When they dedicated the temple, it was the same. Their job was to put the burnt offering on the altar. It was God's job to send the fire. The fire always comes from Him. It doesn't come from ourselves. This is why I say we're not here to stir up anything like that. We're here to take care of our side, which is to give Him an absolute consecration. We put our all on the altar. Then the fire comes. That is the fuel. The fuel is our consecration. That's on the personal, individual side. On the corporate side, the supply is in fellowship and from the ministry. Brothers and sisters, I believe that this kind of reading these messages, getting into this burden, will burn you. Amen. I believe this will burn you. The supply that comes in the ministry will get inside of you and begin to burn you. And Amen. This portion is taken from the matured leadings of in the Lord's recovery. Actually, Brother Dan Toll brought this out in a Leading Ones Fellowship a few weeks ago. It's volume 61, and it's in the first two chapters. He talks about spiritual atmosphere and spiritual fire, Brother Nee does. And in those chapters, he points out that the fire always comes from God. But there has to be also a lot of what he called friction and rubbing that comes from fellowship. We take this book, or we take the ministry, and we read it. Even together, we read it, and our hearts begin to burn. Amen. Why has this never been worked out? Right. Why did nobody do this? Why didn't we do this? Brothers, should we do this? Amen. And you may feel the Lord is calling you to do this. Amen. You may sense that this is a personal commission that the one on the throne is giving to his body. And it begins to burn in you. And it's not easy to let it go. You can't just sleep that well. And you can't walk away from it. This must be what Acts 2:42 is talking about when it says they continued steadfastly in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles. They got a word. And then they began to fellowship. And it began to burn in them. Operate in them. I believe those brothers in Acts 13, they were considering Acts 1:8, where it says, you will be my witnesses, martyrs, in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and Judea, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. And those five brothers, maybe they're prayer reading, and they're looking, wait a minute, the gospel has only gone to Jerusalem, and Judea, and Samaria. Who's going to go to the uttermost parts of the earth? Who's going to do that? The Lord's word is still not finished. It's not completed. And there was rubbing. There was friction. And the heat came. And the fire came. And they began to minister to the Lord and fast. What about the uttermost parts of the earth? Do you know Spain was in Paul? Rome was in Paul. How did that get in him? Fellowship. The leading in the ministry. Brothers and sisters, there is an intensified leading in the ministry.
Amen.
And we have to fellowship. We have to pray. Ourselves, personally, we put everything on the altar. And then we fellowship.
Amen.
Who's going to do this? Who's going to open up these junior highs? Who's going to open up these high schools? Who could do this? Oh, you can't do this. We can't do this. We don't even have the faith to try. But we can minister to the Lord. And then we could fast. And then we could see the fire begins to burn. Brother Nee said, even once the fire starts, it spreads real easy. The next door house catches on fire.
Yeah.
And pretty soon those hard, hard pieces of wood are just going up in flame, you know. Because what? Because the fire got.
Amen.
They got too close to the fire.
Amen.
Let's keep reading.
Amen.
Oh, wait a minute. One. Fire is from the Lord. The fire enables us to serve, to withstand persecution, and even to sacrifice our lives. I think a lot of us, we serve without any fire. And so we do a routine work. We do a general work, maybe a maintenance work, and we maintain status quo. We need the fire. O Lord, burn us.
Amen.
Paul told Timothy to fan into flame the gift which is in him. The fire enables us to serve. On the personal side, fire depends absolutely on our consecration. The amount of consecration we offer on the altar determines what? The intensity of the fire. I think what we'll find out, and maybe as you're sitting there listening, as opening up my heart, as we're listening, we realize maybe our consecration is lacking, that we're not really ready to be able to go to do this kind of work, that it may require that we have to spend some time to go back to the Lord. Reconsecrate again. Lord, I'm sorry. There's so much reservation in me. There's so much resistance in me. So maybe what I'm burdened to do is to help us all to have a fresh consecration to the Lord.
Amen.
Don't you feel like this is touching something here?
Amen.
That we didn't have this. We didn't need this. For our work with the young people, we never needed this. Right? We could do fine without fire. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
May the Lord burn us.
Amen.
Okay. If consecration is lacking, this is little B, the fire will not come. Therefore, we cannot hold back anything in our consecration. Just like Mary, you know, she poured out that flask. She poured out everything. And this is the goal of the gospel. This is the spirit of the gospel. This is the memorial that goes out with the gospel, is that there's a group of people that are poured out. They didn't hold back. If our consecration is lacking, the fire will not come. We need both. We need the consecration on one side, and then we need a lot of friction, rubbing. Consecration, in turn, comes from light. We consecrate to God according to the light we have received. We can only consecrate according to what we have received, according to our spiritual eyes, to what our spiritual eyes can see. The light we see comes from our fellowship with God. Through constant fellowship, God shines on us and grants us revelation. Then God sends down his fire to take up our consecration. Hence, fire comes from God and is communicated to us through consecration. Once the fire starts, others will catch it easily. This fire will turn even hard wood into hot flames. Amen. The entire life of a Christian, from the time he first believes to the time he goes to the Lord, must be accompanied by fire.
Amen.
You know, the Lord told them in the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 6, that they had to keep the fire shall never go out.
Amen.
The fire on the burnt offering altar cannot go out. They had to put wood on there to fuel it every morning and every night so that the fire would not go out. Saints, we have to do the same. Every morning, we have to put fresh wood, keep the fire. The fire comes from God. It doesn't come from us. We're not talking about zeal, strange fire. We're not talking about sweat or our effort, anything like this. The fire comes from Him.
Amen.
We give Him our all. He gives the fire.
Amen.
This is where it comes from. And then we fellowship. And the fire gets really hot. That's where... I believe, saints, when you touch this, I believe this is so needed. Whether we do anything, we need this.
Amen.
And we don't need this because we need to do something. We just need this.
Amen.
Because we're short of this.
Amen.
How about let's all read point C.
On the one hand, we should increase our gospel preaching. On the other hand, we should increase our consecration. Our consecration cannot stop. Once we stop our consecration, the spirit of the gospel will stop. In order to recover the gospel, we have to recover consecration.
Did you ever put those together before? You know, in the messages, and maybe we'll get into this a little bit later, but you know, I mentioned, and it's been kind of a common theme that Brother Lee engineered, and maybe that's not the best word to use, but he took a very scientific and methodical approach in his preaching the gospel and gaining new ones when he was in Taiwan. And when he came back to this country, he had several trainings on how to produce the vital groups, and one is published in a book called The Training and Practice of the Vital Groups. And if you want to know the way to create an atmosphere, you have to be willing to go back and read the manual and practice. It's really quite good. He says, number one, he has 4 points. We have to be stirred up in our first love for the Lord.
Amen.
By repenting prayers or through repenting prayers.
Amen.
I think already today there's a lot we need to repent. I feel this way. There's a lot to repent. Number two, we need to make a thorough confession to the Lord. Confess our unwillingness, our inability, our lack of fire, our ability to go on in the church life for decades without fire and not feeling anything about it. Number three, to have close, intimate, and thorough fellowship with the Lord and with the seeking saints, some companions that are like burdened. And then number four, to reconsecrate ourselves to the Lord. Then the fire comes. Amen. Well, we have about 15 minutes. Can we again go to our groups? And I'm so sorry to the Spanish-speaking saints that we don't have these excerpts in Spanish. I know some of the brothers were trying to translate, so...
Just 1 minute. Try to share something brief.
Amen. Oh, so precious weekend. You know, last weekend, Ron Vegas came to Phoenix for a blending fellowship we have every year. And several times he said to us, he said, those days in recovery are over. You know, those days in recovery are over. You know, I think that I do hear this college. We're coming to the, you know, point in our recovery where those days are over.
Yeah, yeah.
The old ways of doing things with the young people are over.
Amen.
Even the new ones. Amen.
Amen.
I feel such a stirring in my spirit. You know, we would just cast aside all those things. You know, we would look to this new way. Amen. Amen. Covering the young people, bringing up this atmosphere, creating this atmosphere of the young people and the new ones. All these things all go together. You know, in the world they talk about silos. You know, in companies have silos where they have just different departments or just all. You know, amen, it's all one thing, amen. The junior high, the high school, the college, it's all one thing. It's all one work, amen.
We the Lord for the fire.
Amen.
Let's enjoy that we need to have a thorough consecration.
Amen.
I enjoy the entire Christian life from the time we believe to the time we go to be with the Lord must be a burning one.
Amen.
By my experience, since I serve with the young people without the fire. But Lord, I want to repent.
Amen.
I want to reconsecrate myself holy.
Amen.
Bring the fire.
Amen.
I just really appreciate that this burden really is not just a burden for our work with the young people.
Amen.
But it's really a burden for our going on in all the churches.
Amen.
And it's quite striking, this title, When God Moves, He Begins. By stirring up an atmosphere.
Amen.
When God moves, He begins with the atmosphere.
Amen.
And the matter of the atmosphere has everything to do with our own personal spiritual condition.
Amen.
Are we in touch with the Lord? Are we enjoying the Lord? What kind of atmosphere do we bring to a place?
Amen.
And you know, I just feel like on the one hand, the Lord has really spoken to us concerning the matter of the young people being seeds of the gospel. But really, saints, the young people do not have much way to go on unless we ourselves are in this burden.
Amen.
You know, to expect them to be able to function as seeds of the gospel in a junior high or a high school is really a lot to expect if we ourselves are in a kind of dormant condition.
Yeah.
And I just feel like in these days, the Lord is speaking to all the saints and all the churches to bring in a different kind of atmosphere.
Amen.
And so how much will we open concerning this?
Amen.
How much ground will we give the Lord concerning this?
Amen.
You know, Brother Lee, Tom made reference to a couple, his speaking, and I was also, I see he has this book, Being Desperate and Living Uniquely for the Gospel.
Amen.
This is a word that was spoken in 1987.
Yeah.
It's over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And we still need to take this word.
Amen.
We still need to pick up this word.
Amen.
You know, I have to, as an older one among you, I have to repent. Because I have seen the development of the church in such a way where when we first came to the church life, there was a fire in the church life.
Amen.
There was a fire among the saints to gain new ones, to bring in the gospel work among us. And so even the young people were able to enter into that. But over the years, there have been, you hear a lot about, you know, the storms, right? Two storms among us. What were these storms designed to do? It was to prevent the atmosphere that we're talking about today. In the late 70s and in the late 80s, those storms were directed against the atmosphere of bringing in the gospel. So I just feel, saints, the Lord is coming to us again in these days.
Amen.
By His mercy, He
Amen.
Comes to us again
Amen.
To speak to us.
Amen.
What about the gospel?
Amen.
What about bearing fruit?
Amen.
Just let me finish with this one statement here. And I would urge the saints, pick up this book and spend some time with it in a prayerful way. It is Being Desperate and Living Uniquely for the Gospel. And here is a word that Brother Lee says. He says, you may have been taken away unconsciously already under your drug situation. He's talking about the branches being cut off from the vine. You may say that you enjoy Christ, but where is the enjoyment if you have not borne fruit and have been cut off from the vine tree?
Amen.
So saints, I just feel like this is not an optional matter.
Right.
We have run out of options. Amen. The Lord is coming to us again to speak to us.
Amen.
What about the fruit bearing?
Amen.
What about the gospel?
Amen.
Praise the Lord for His word today.
Amen.
May we really give ourselves to this word.
Amen.
Amen. About 2 months ago, due to a brother who's very burdened for this matter of the campuses, the junior high and high school campuses in our area, we started a meeting with the parents of all the students who go to a certain high school, junior high, high school combination. And we had one meeting, and you know, we didn't know what to expect, but we, all the parents, not all the parents, but most of the parents, we have about 15 to 20 students on that campus. We came together, and all we did was fellowship and prayed, and all of us, you can tell, you know, every time I enter my son's campus, I'm always burdened for his friends. Yeah. And I always try to meet some of the girls, and so within me, there was already, the Lord was stirring up something within me. So when this brother said, you know, let's start, let's get together, all of us parents, like, we all were, you know, we were really excited about it. Well, the second time we came together, it was interesting because it was really a sweet, we didn't do anything, we haven't done anything, but it was just a kind of an atmosphere of a vital group among us. And we all are from different vital groups. Well, because, you know, we don't have anything to do with each other other than our kids go to the school. So anyway, I'm just really excited to see what the Lord will do and how He'll do it.
Amen.
But it's not the, our kids. Our kids are coming. They'll follow us. But it's the parents who have the real burden.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints. I really, I'm enjoying this His word right now.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
There's a lot of fire over here, saints.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm just really happy that our brother is still sounding the trumpet.
Amen. Amen.
Enjoy that, the silver trumpet.
Amen.
The Lord is sounding the word still today in this situation, in this kind of atmosphere that we are today.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, I'll draw the mention from the beginning. We got everything in the ministry ready.
Amen.
Everything is ready for us just to get in.
Amen.
For us to take advantage of it.
Amen.
And the most important thing that I really see is that my consecration has a lot to do with it.
Amen.
If I don't consecrate myself, there's no way for the Lord to move.
Amen.
The Lord, from the beginning, as you see, the Lord, it's always, everything has been about possessing the land.
Yeah.
From the beginning of the time. And we're still in the same mode, trying to possess the land still. So I'm just really happy that the brothers are speaking the same word that's been in my heart.
Amen.
What the Lord is after is to build up his own body.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I enjoyed that the spiritual fire relates to supply.
Amen.
And
Amen.
That supply depends upon our consecration.
Amen.
And it also depends upon our fellowship and the supply in the ministry.
Amen.
And I was really touched by our brother's word. He said, a lot of us serve without a fire and do a maintenance work.
Yeah.
And it's difficult for us to have a fire burning with us within us unless we offer our everything on the altar, and then God is able to consume that with fire.
Yeah.
There's a communication between us and God as we consecrate our everything to the Lord.
Amen.
So we have a spirit of consecration in our service to the Lord.
Amen.
People are a reflection of who we are.
Amen.
So I was just so exposed and touched. We need to consecrate ourselves anew.
Amen.
Touch the Lord and have Him consume our offering.
Amen.
That way He can ignite the fire within us.
Amen.